Love your enemies.
A billboard evangelism phone dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Hello, this is Philip with Gospel Billboards. How are you today?
Hello, Philip. I'm not doing too bad, sir. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well. So you saw one of our billboards today?
I did. And, you know, I've been checking them out here. I'm a truck driver. I drive up and down the valley here in California. And I just had some questions and possibly even some concerns about your guys' guidance that you're trying to give to, I guess, like humanity, you know, which I think is great, you know, and I commend you a great deal for it. One of your signs that just had me quite perplexed was where I know it says it in the Bible that we love our enemies as Christians and whatnot. I'm just wondering, you know, with a blanket statement like that, if you guys put any thought or research into the fact that all across the Middle East, Christians are being drowned in cages in the ocean and being burned in cages and being, you know, this stuff is posted online and, you know, at the hands of people, you know, all wrapped up in their Islamic culture. And also that all the stories in the Bible where the Christians, throughout spiritual warfare, throughout history, have actually had to fight and slaughter and, you know, fight for God, fight for Christianity. And I wonder how that fits into just a blanket statement where we love our enemies no matter what. I mean, can you help me out with that? Because, I'm kind of perplexed by it. And, you know, as a Christian, it just kind of worries me, you know? It's like, what are you guys actually trying to tell your fellow Christians, you know?
Well, we do believe in nonviolence, non-resistance, as Jesus said, "You resist not evil, to turn the other cheek, to go the second mile." I guess I don't agree with you that Christians have to fight for their rights, for their religion. I realize that after the first few hundred years of Christianity, many Christians, at least those who identified themselves as Christians, did get involved in fighting. Not all. And I believe Jesus taught us not to fight.
Well, what about now, the story of Jericho and all that, where He even told them to kill every man, woman, and child, in that city and light it on fire, leave no stone unturned. And He specifically says, man, women, and child, kill them.
Oh, I understand there was fighting and warfare in the Old Testament. and that God did command that. Yes, I don't deny that. However, I believe that when we came into the new covenant with Jesus, that now with the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that He calls us to a higher standard in that regard, as well as a number of others. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I believe that's, you might say, the constitution of the kingdom of God in this time and age of the new covenant. And so that's why I and Anabaptist people such as myself, refuse to be a part of the armed forces to fight in war, or even, to be party to a lawsuit, to those kind of things, because we believe that Jesus has taught us not to do that.
Very good points. Very good points there. One thing that I was wondering, I often hear Christians use that line, he tells us to turn the other cheek. Well, I often ponder the thought of, what happens when you're facing judgment in the afterlife and Jesus says, He's asking you why you turned the other cheek in the face of evil, What kind of advice do you have for, when you're facing evil, do you just let it overcome you and people around you that you love, like your family, or say, for instance, even America? There's a lot of evil in America, and where do the Christians take a stand? At some point, do you have to take a stand against evil,
Well, here is what the Bible says about not being overcome of evil. I'll read it to you. Let's see, where should we start here? Romans chapter 12, verse 17, reading from the New King James Version. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Wow. That's pretty powerful, man. Well, I think that pretty much answers that. I find it really hard, I find it really difficult, and I don't necessarily consider myself consumed with evil. I just struggle with seeing the most helpless people in society kind of like getting corralled and just wiped out at the hands of a lot of evil. It's just, it's hard to weigh the options and make the right decision. Mm-hmm.
I'm not denying that what's being done over there is evil. If we go over there and blow the heads off of some people that are doing these kind of things, over some ISIS fighters, are we going to make those people and the people that, the places where those fighters are coming from, any less in opposition to Christianity? They are using terror and hatred and evil against us to try to overcome us, why should we use their tactics against them? I think far more effective is to use Jesus' tactics against them. And I may go over there and reach out to people who are hurting, who are in need. And I know most of us like to stay in the safe areas. And I'm not saying that I'm any better at that than any other people. But if we're going to overcome the evil, I don't think it's going to be by killing a bunch of fighters. Rather, I believe it's going to be by reaching out to the many, many, many hurting in the world. There are so many refugees right now. And if the Muslims learn that it's the Christians that care about their refugees, I think that is going to be far more powerful in the long run than bombs and bullets.
Very true, very true. Does it scare you a little bit that the migrant populations, like, say, for instance, in other European countries, have literally been infiltrated by these people who want to do nothing but kill Christians and, quite frankly, other Muslims that don't follow their hardline beliefs? Does that scare you about bringing those kind of people into America, or do you just think that God's in control and he'll work it out?
Well, I hesitate to get into the political aspects of that because I don't believe that Christ calls me to be, I don't believe the solutions are political solutions. I guess I would repeat a little bit what I said before. I really think we'll reach hearts a lot quicker by showing the love of Jesus to them than by expressing a kind of a group hatred or suspicion towards everybody.
So it's your belief that all that stuff going on in the Middle East, it's your belief that we should just keep reaching out to those people? You don't think that they're, like, maybe forsaken or anything like that? Because, you know, where all this stuff's basically coming out of is the land of the Canaanites in the Old Testament, you know, that we're supposed to go in there and slaughter them. Who knows if they actually were slaughtered to the extent that they couldn't, you know, go on and make this Muslim culture that's, you know, it's pretty obvious to a lot of Christians that I talk to that it's not just about, like, what you believe and doing your good works. It's there is very clear signs of spiritual warfare. You know, this is not a peaceful time in existence for Christians. And quite frankly, in the Middle East and European countries and whatnot, you know, they're on the defense where, you know, like, if we just keep holding this position that, you know, peace is the answer, you know, turn the other cheek is the answer, that perhaps Christians will be wiped out, and perhaps the, whatever they call it in Muslim, the caliphate or whatever, you know, they state it very clearly. Their goal is to straight out wipe out Christians. There's no question about it. So when they say that, and us as Christians say, oh, we can reach them, we can still reach them, when, you know, they kill you just because you're a Christian woman or a Christian child, like, are those people redeemable? You know, is there any way to reach someone who will kill a child just because of their beliefs? I don't understand that.
Well, have there ever been groups that have had the stated goal in the past to wipe out Christianity? Yes, there have.
Muslims, yeah.
Not just the Muslims. Study the first couple hundred years of the Christian church, that history. Christians were persecuted. They were persecuted by the Jews first. They were persecuted by the Roman Empire. They didn't fight back.
Right.
They won the heart of the Roman Empire not by killing, but by dying, by being willing to give their lives. They would rather die than to kill. They would rather suffer than to cause suffering. And many of them did die. And others, as they saw their lives, they said, they have something that I want too. And eventually they saw they couldn't stamp it out by persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel like if we want to build Christ's kingdom here on earth, which that is my intention, I need to do it with Jesus' methods, not with Satan's methods.
Sure.
And yes, they may kill me if I'm right with God. That's surely not the worst thing that can happen to me. Now, for them, that's the worst thing that could happen to them, is for them to be killed. For me to be killed is by far not the worst thing that could happen to me. And so I can give my life, and I can't conscientiously take the life of that man and be the one that sends him to hell. I can't do that.
Wow, that's really good, man.
And, I know it seems so counterintuitive to our human way of thinking.
Right.
But if you will study Jesus' life and teachings, you'll see that's his way. And there have been groups down through history that have practiced this. I would be a part of what we would call the Anabaptist branch of Christianity, if you want to say it that way. Non-resistance has been a part of our teachings as long as we've existed. It goes back to the 1500s, Reformation times. In the 1500s, both the Catholics and the Protestants persecuted the Anabaptists, and many of them were killed. But it grew, and eventually a lot of the ideas that even come down to our country today of separation of church and state, of, you know, voluntary church membership, baptism for those who are old enough to choose to be part of a church rather than just baptizing babies, that has become a whole lot more mainstream. But it was those people back there that were willing to give their lives for it that pioneered those ideas. And it's the life that I believe my Lord Jesus Christ has called me to live.
Amen, brother. Right on, man. Because you certainly gave me some good food for thought. And, you know, I have felt the anger boiling up inside of me, the hatred, the demon inside of me, you know, just this earthly shell that I'm in has, you know, I see this stuff and it, man, and in one way or another, it takes a piece of me, you know, and it just, just kills me that they're doing this stuff to my people. And I don't, you know, I pray for answers, you know, I ask people for answers, and many people just tell me, you know, turn the other cheek kind of thing. And that doesn't quite sink in, you know, the way that how you explained history and, you know, Jesus' teachings and, you know, historically we have died rather than fight, which is, you know, I guess that part just kind of escaped me because there's also been times where we fight. So it's kind of, you know, how do you know what to do in this day and age? What is the right path? You know, and I see a lot of Christians letting it slide, and it just kills me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really believe that whenever Christians have fought, you know, since the time of Jesus, it has been wrong. It has been against the teachings of Jesus. And if you go talk to Muslims about why they hate Christians, what will they talk about? It'll always go back to the Crusades. They have not forgiven Christians for the Crusades, even though that's over 1,000 years. Well, they started about 1,000 years ago. And, you know, the last of them were maybe, 700 years ago. I'm not real clear on my dates there, but somewhere in that vicinity. They remember that. And it's very much in their mindset of why they view Christians the way they do. But definitely, we always try to call people back to really, truly following Jesus.
Right.
We encourage people to get to read the Bible, especially the story of Jesus. Start at the beginning of Matthew. Ask yourself, who is Jesus? And I really feel if they can get their eyes on Jesus, that Jesus will lead them. And
okay, well, at that, you know, I would just ask for your prayers, and you know, I thank you for your guidance and everything you've enlightened me with your knowledge today. And you know, that's some good stuff, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I've really enjoyed this call, and yeah, I hope to encourage you and all of us to just follow Jesus more closely. One of the things we do at Gospel Billboards also is send out Christian literature to people. I have a book that I really think you would enjoy. It's what I like to send out to fellow believers. It's called The Kingdom That Turned the World Upside Down. And it would address a lot of what we talked about here today. It actually, the introduction to the book takes you back to the scene from the Crusades, but it points out how we should really be a part of Christ's kingdom now and what that looks like. Would you be interested in letting me mail a free copy of that book to you?
Absolutely. I would enjoy reading that with my family. I would appreciate that.
Okay. And is it okay if I include a few other smaller items with it?
Absolutely. And if you could maybe put me in your prayer service with your with our fellow brothers and whatnot, because you know, it's a tough time, man. And you know, I'll be praying for you as well, sir, because you know, you're doing some good work here. You know, I really did call you wondering, you know, what kind of organization is this, and you know, you definitely turned my thoughts around, because I was almost thinking maybe you guys were Muslims or something, you know, just trying to progress that thing where, you know, just, I don't hate the Muslims, but every time I turn around, it seems like they're they're hating me and my people, and it's just really tough to deal with. So that's good stuff. You know, you helped me open my mind a little bit and my heart, you know, for the most part. That's the most important thing. So I'll be looking out for your mail, and I'll go over it with the family.
Okay. And would you like me to pray for you right now?
Yeah, that would be great.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for this privilege of talking to you. We pray that you would help him as he goes on from here to love you, to serve you, and as he reflects on all the evil in the world, especially evil directed at Christians, help him to, that would inspire him to love you more, to do more and more things Jesus' way, instead of letting that evil overcome us to doing, making us do evil as well. And we know the answers aren't always easy to know how to apply Jesus' teachings into our everyday life and into some of the hard situations we get into. But we just pray you'd work in his heart and his life and in the life of his family to draw them closer to you, to help them to know your ways more perfectly and to apply them into their lives. So just be with him, bless him, and guide his life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too, Philip. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and His Word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options in quarterly newsletter or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at christianaidministries.org.